So here's a little secret about wedding planning that, in all likelihood, nobody has bothered to share with you yet. It's a shame, too, because it's one of the most important things to know amid this deliberation-heavy, budget-balancing, crazy-making voyage. You are going to have the best wedding ever. It sounds silly and maybe a little obvious, but on your wedding day, all of the work leading up to that day will melt into a fuzzy haze, and you will finally be in that moment. And then, in that magical present, you'll find yourself in that Goldilocks zone where everything is just right. Part of that is, of course, giving yourself permission to inhabit that mental space, but assuming you can take your day as it comes, you will have the best wedding ever. That said, as somebody who's been a part of hundreds of weddings, it's always fascinating to look back and dissect what makes the most memorable weddings so fun and unique. Today, we're chatting with two people who know a thing or two about throwing an incredible party, and we'll figure out how to make your wedding even more unforgettable. This is Engaged and Confused, Episode 3, Best Wedding Ever. As always, I'm Danny Desires, co-founder of From the Hip Photo, and I've got two women here who you are going to love, each of whom has a distinctive perspective on this subject. First up is Gina Malafite. Hey, Gina.
Hey.
Gina is the owner of Organically You Events and is one of my favorite wedding planners. Honestly, when we team up with her on a wedding, we know it's automatically in contention for the best wedding ever crown. She's not only super talented with both small details and big picture coordination, but she's also a sassy straight shooter, and I adore her for that. The third member of today's little love triangle is Christy Kruzik, a newlywed who just celebrated her first anniversary and who objectively may have had the best wedding ever.
Aww.
What's up, Christy?
How are you? Thank you for saying that.
Well, it's true. We'll get into that. But suffice to say that you are, I think, a modern Renaissance woman, television producer, model, a bride whose wedding's been featured on The Knot, a homeowner who's had your house spotlighted on Apartment Therapy and tons of other places. In short, I'm totally outcooled today, but I'm going to do my best to hang in here.
Lies.
I feel outcooled by you already.
I've always felt outcooled by Danny and, of course, your other half, Nina.
Well,
I always feel outcooled by you guys.
It's just a cool party here. It's going to rub off on everybody who's listening. Gina, I got to say, you have a hunky husband and an adorable little girl who is turning 1 year old today.
Yes.
I can't believe you're taking time out of her birthday to be with us. That's
Aww.
So sweet. So maybe, yeah, maybe you can kick us off by kind of putting your professional experience on the back burner for a second and tell us a little bit about your wedding day. Is there a feeling that you remember most intensely from your celebration?
I feel like after having a kid, I've been married 8 years, it feels like that was a really long time ago. But even though it was, it's like a fuzzy haze in the back of my mind a lot of times. I distinctly remember standing under a tree with my dad. We were around the bend from the wedding. It was April. It was freezing. All my guests were like shivering, and I was sweating because I was so excited. And I'm standing there with my dad under this giant tree with no leaves, and I just was full of, like, I feel like every emotion, I don't know, I feel like it was like joy, excitement, nerves, anticipation. I was terrified. I was like, it was like everything into one little ball. And I just looked at my dad and I was like, are you ready, Dad? And he's like, are you ready? Like, I don't know. And that was probably, that moment is like seared into my brain. And I think it's because like I couldn't see any of the guests. I couldn't see my husband. We hadn't seen each other yet that day. And so I was going to come around this bend and see all the people there that I loved, who had actually shown up. You know, you never know who's actually sitting there. And my husband and our friend married us. And so there's just all these people that we loved and adored. And I was going to come around this bend, and I knew that they were all waiting to see me. And it's just this really big moment for me.
Yeah.
And it may be lame, but super traditional. But for me, that was it.
No, nothing lame about that. I think that feeling of anticipation is so big for everybody, whether they're doing a first look or they're having that moment right as they're, you know, coming down the aisle. It's this atomic bomb of emotions and energy and, like you said, just all over the map of how you might feel. Christy, did you have that kind of, like, I don't know, nervous, excited energy? You relate to that?
I absolutely relate to that. I just think that moment of walking down the aisle with my dad is something I've thought about and dreamt about my entire life, and that was actually happening. I was so overwhelmed with emotion, and it was just so beautiful to see my husband at the other end of the room, and it was super special, and it's everything you think it's going to be, right?
Yeah.
I would say the other moment for me was after our first dance in our wedding, we had the lights go out, and then we brought in like a 20-person marching band as like a surprise for everybody.
I like how you just so casually drop that in there, but yeah.
So that was another one of those moments where I was like, I knew it was coming, and I was like, oh my God, the band's coming, I'm so excited, and nobody in the audience knew that this was going to happen. So the lights go out, and that moment of like waiting for the band to come out, that was another one of those like high anticipation, like excited moments. That was probably one of my other favorite moments of the day.
Yeah, so I guess two things about that. One is that as a dad myself, that's awesome that both of you mentioned the moments with your dads.
Yeah.
I would be lying.
It's gonna be you one day.
Yeah, I'd be lying if I say I don't think about that, and I hear all of these wedding speeches from fathers, and I get all choked up. I'm a mess now. But the second thing that I really love is that part, you know, one of the best things about the best day for both of you is something that everybody's going to have, right? That feeling of, okay, stuff's about to get real. This is happening.
Yeah.
It's a free part of your wedding day.
Yeah.
And it is such a, you know, an unforgettable moment, and one that I think is so, so emotionally charged for everybody. Christy, you and your husband Danny obviously had a pretty remarkable wedding day, start to finish.
You have to say that because you're my friend.
I totally do not have to say that.
And you're also our photographer, but still.
He promised to show me photos because I was like, okay, this wedding sounds
It's hard to explain. Like, I feel like you're going to have to see it to be like, oh, I get what they were trying to do.
Well, one of the shorthands that I use is that I talk about how you two sort of viewed it as a collaborative art project together. You're both super creative people in that way, and it was a way to kind of team up and, you know, work out these ingenious ideas. You came up with this theme of till death and really ran with that. You had magicians and tarot card readers during cocktail hour, and this really memorable, striking setup where you had these old love letters from the World War II era strung up. You guys drove off in this curvaceous, beautiful vintage hearse. So clearly, no lack of thoughtfulness here. It's really, you know, I could go on and on about all of the details that really stand out for me, but I'm curious, when you look back on your own wedding, sort of within that bubble of it being yours, what do you think made your wedding the best ever?
For us, for my husband and I, we love experiences, and we love sort of like immersive art projects, and we love immersive theater. So those are just things that we enjoy, and that's kind of who we are. And so when we thought about putting together our wedding, yes, we were like, this is our art project that we get to do with all of our friends in mind. And we just wanted to make it an amazing experience for our families and our friends, but also for ourselves. So we just had so much fun. Like, I wish I could do it again and again and again. Like, the minute the wedding was over, we were just so depressed that it was over. So we're like, we want to do another one. But I think for us, what made us the best, you know, wedding ever is we curated a one-of-a-kind experience that I don't think anyone else will have, because it's not anyone else's, you know, particular style or wedding. Or it just had a lot of our personalities, and I think we made it more of an experience than an event, I guess.
That's a really good way of putting it. And I think that, you know, in fairness to everyone listening who's like, oh my God, they had a 20-piece marching band. No, like, how am I going to top that? I think you really hit upon it, which is that this was something really special to the two of you and your interests. And, you know, from an outside perspective, these are all like really big, high impact, cool, crazy ideas. But those were extensions of this relationship that you and Danny have, this world that you inhabit, the kind of experiences that you enjoy. And I think that, you know, if we're making a case for the two of you having had the best wedding ever, the logic there is really about the thought and the care that went into all of those decisions.
It
went beyond just making a choice to cross something off of the list. Yeah. And instead, it was clear that you two thought about why you were making those decisions and how to make them your own.
Yeah.
And that this idea of really owning your wedding, making an extension of who you are as a couple, is one that we come back to a lot on this podcast. Your wedding being a quintessential example of that. But I feel like that's really the key to having the best time ever at your own wedding.
And it's the key to making it a wedding like no one else's.
Yeah.
Because if you really put yourself in it and, like, showcase your personality and what you guys love and what you guys are interested in, yeah. No other wedding is going to be like that.
It's like the Smokey Bear, only you can prevent forest fires. Well, yeah. Only you can have your wedding. And I think there's a lot of pressure that couples feel to do things a certain way. And sometimes that's not necessarily the greatest thing. But, you know, from your guest experience, is there something that people came back to you or come back to you and comment on, you know, a year later about your wedding that stood out for them?
There's a couple things. So obviously the vintage hearse, people still talk about, you know, us, our getaway car was the vintage hearse. Yeah. And then the marching band, I think, was really fun because it surprised people. No one knew what was happening. And then also we had sort of like a choreographed dance routine in between cocktail hour and dinner that was also a surprise to like this really cool Nina Simone song. And that's something that people have come back to us again and again and been like, that was so beautiful and so special, and I've never seen anything like that. So I think those are the top three things that people kind of remember.
Yeah, the element of surprise.
Surprise.
That's a big
one.
And
making it an experience, like an adventure for everybody that's there.
Because weddings are sort of by nature formulaic, right? There's a certain flow of events that happens, and what you do around those moments is different. But, you know, we're going to have a ceremony, and then we're going to have cocktail hour, and then we're going to do this. And so I think throwing surprises in, yeah, that's a really underrated aspect of putting your own imprint on a wedding. Gina, as a planner, is there an aspect of the wedding day that your clients tend to look back upon as the highlight of their day, or does that really sort of vary from couple to couple?
Yeah, I think this is a great question. I feel like it varies. Well, outside of Colorado crazy weather, because I feel like that's always a thing that people think about and talk about post-wedding.
We should explain, in case somebody's listening who doesn't live in Colorado.
We've had giant hailstorms in the middle of June. It just like golf ball sized hail come down on a wedding. And, you know, I mean, just the craziest weather you can imagine happens. I feel like all summer long, all wedding season long. So if you're getting married outside, it's probably going to be something that you remember from your wedding. But outside of that, I really feel like it is specific to each couple, like what those moments are. But it seems to me it's always centered around relationship or community or family or the spousal relationship. Like, it always ties into that somehow. So it's either that moment with their parent walking down the aisle, or the toast with their community, like the special words that were said, or the first dance, or I don't know, or remembering a loved one that's passed away that's not there, and like the way that we've taken time to remember that person or something. I would say almost every time those are the memories that stand out to our couples.
Yeah. And again, right, the opportunities for personalization and bringing themselves into the wedding day and what they're doing.
Yeah. And none of that, it doesn't have to cost a lot. It's so much more about being intentional and thoughtful about those little things, kind of exactly like what you all did. I mean, it sounds like you created an amazing experience for your guests, and your guests, like that community of people. It sounds like, I wish I had been there. Sounds like
I wish you would have been
away.
There too.
Sounds like the best wedding ever. For
it was
real.
Really fun.
When you guys do your vow renewals in 9 years, you know, you can
We've
invite us all to the party.
We have already started planning. Because it was like such a fun art project. And then once
totally.
It was over,
I
we like
it.
Got depressed. And we're like,
can
well,
I please come?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. In 9 years.
Okay.
Well, and I think too, it's worth noting that, you know, that same idea of like that perfect experience, the best day, it can take so many forms, and it doesn't have to be expensive.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be crazy, you know, like a backyard barbecue where you're with your closest friends and family, that can have that same potency. And it's just really identifying what makes sense for you and, you know, and your partner.
I think a really good exercise might be, if you're getting married, write down the kind of wedding that you would love to go to. Like, what kind of wedding would you love to attend? And what kind of wedding, what does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it sound like? And then that's maybe base your wedding on the kind of wedding you want to go to.
Well, actually,
that's
Christy,
a great idea.
Yeah, that's actually a question that I had for you. Since you did take such a unique approach to all this, before you two had your wedding, did you think about weddings that you had attended and use that to sort of define what you wanted to include or exclude? Or did you kind of come in with a blank slate?
So I would say a little bit of both. Danny and I have been to quite a few weddings, some that we love, some that, you know, we could have taken or leaven.
Sure.
So yes, Danny and I have been to quite a few weddings. We also have been to a lot of, like, rock shows, and I would say, like, theater performances and immersive theater projects, which definitely inspired our wedding. We went to a wedding once. Our friends Kate and Tom got married, and they did something that I'd never seen before. Their ceremony, they're both really into music. Their ceremony was only lyrics from songs. So they expressed the beginning, middle, and end of the ceremony with song lyrics.
Wow. I love that.
And that was the first time I had ever really seen someone take the idea of a wedding ceremony and completely flip it upside down. So when it came to Danny and I planning our ceremony, we wrote the whole thing from scratch. We were like, this is what we're going to do. And we ended up, since the theme was Till Death, part of our ceremony, we ended up reading our eulogies for each other. So what I would say at Danny's funeral, what Danny would say at my funeral, which some might say is kind of dark, but it was actually really beautiful because it's, you know, a eulogy is something that you will never get to hear because you'll have passed by that time. So it was a really interesting and fun way for us to kind of do our ceremony. And we learned that from going to a wedding where they flipped it on its head and did something we had never done before.
Yeah.
So
the eulogy idea, I think, is really beautiful and poetic and romantic in, like, the real sense of what that word means. And you're right. You know, I think that we see it in weird forms, like on Twitter, when a celebrity dies and suddenly there's, like, this crazy outpouring of emotion and people expressing what a meaningful impact this person had on their lives. And you're like, really? I didn't know you felt that way about Michael Jackson or you know,
David Bowie.
Yeah, David Bowie was a great one.
I mean, people that I had no idea even liked David Bowie. I was like, that was very touching what you just said.
Yeah.
Like,
So you're going to set a new trend. Everyone
Don't.
At their wedding.
Take note.
No one has to do that.
Write that down. Might be kind of dark for some people.
Yeah. So
tell a gothic romance wedding.
Yeah. Tell the people in your life that you love them while they're still around to hear it, I think is a great point. But also this notion that, you know, even the two of you being these hyper creative people kind of had to see somebody else take that mold and shatter it and feel like, oh, okay, we have permission to do what we want. Yeah. And I think that's been, you know, Pinterest catches a lot of flack in regards to weddings. I think a lot of people in the industry feel like, oh, it sort of forces these, you know, seasonal fads. Like, we're going to have all mason jars 1 year, and then we're going to have this sign at every wedding ceremony the next year. But I think on the whole, it's been a really positive influence because it's allowed people to see what other people are doing and kind of expand those horizons naturally and feel like, oh, yeah, I don't have to have a wedding cake. I can have an ice cream sundae bar, and we'll do that, and everybody will love it, and they'll remember it.
And if you look outside of the wedding Pinterest boards and you look at, like, window displays on Pinterest, or like there are certain, I follow a lot of different ones that are just artsy, and I feel like you can get so much inspiration from them for a wedding that doesn't have to necessarily be a wedding inspiration, but it can, like, inspire you to do an event that's different and cool and you.
Yeah.
So Pinterest can be a really great tool, I think.
And as photographers, the same idea, you know, seeing somebody's wedding Pinterest board is one thing, but then when we get to see how they want to decorate their dream home, it gives us this different insight into what makes them tick and their sensibilities.
Like their personal style.
Yeah. Well, so Pinterest is now, for better or worse, part of this, like, big machine of planning a wedding and all the stuff you've got to go through. And a lot of it can sap your energy and, you know, creative energy.
It's a Pinterest hole.
Yeah. And so I'm wondering, Gina, as a planner who is working with couples and helping them craft this vision, do you have any tricks or strategies to kind of keep your couples focused on the fun and getting them to that best wedding ever and not falling prey to the endless planning world.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're going to have to do a podcast on Pinterest wedding.
Yeah.
You'll just have to do a whole thing on
that. That's a good idea.
Yeah, write that down. I think your first step should be to hire a planner. Seriously, though. It should. You should. Because I feel like, let me rephrase that. You need to hire the right planner. Find somebody that understands you, someone that gets you, someone that has, like, creative juices that flow with yours or traditional juices that flow with yours. Whatever is your fit, find that planner and latch on. We love out-of-the-box weddings. We love couples who think outside of what is traditional and want to do things unique and different because we have so much fun with that. But I also think that there's a place for people who want a really traditional ceremony and a reception, and you need to have guidance and help with that too. So this is not a plug for planners, but seriously though, hire a planner. It will be great. So what we do with ours is we kind of like, we sit down, if they hire us to help them design and do the whole thing, we sit down and just have them close their eyes and we're like, wave a magic wand. And what do you walk into? Like, what's your space? What's your room? What does it look like when you walk into your wedding? That's kind of our first question to them. And then, this is just like a basic thing, but really set a budget and like know kind of where you're going to go with that, because then you can take those dreams and figure out how to make them come alive.
But Gina, budgets.
I know, they're so sucking. Boring. They suck.
Just the mention of the word, like part of me dies inside.
I know, me too.
So what is it that kind of like keeps the pep in their step? And I'll come back to the whole like why you should have a planner in a second too. But
well, I really wasn't trying to plug for it. I really do.
No,
believe
I know.
It's
I totally but believe that too.
I definitely believe it was helpful. We had a day of planner, so even if you just do that, I found that to be super helpful. So you're not stressing on the day of your wedding.
Yeah.
And if there was not a wedding planner like in arm's distance right now, I would tell you the same thing when I sit down with couples, and it's that it used to be viewed as this like extravagant luxury item for your wedding.
Rich girls,
it is so essential. I can't stress enough, number one, how much better things flow when there is at the very minimum someone there on the day of to coordinate. But number two, just how it like ups your happiness and enjoyment factor as a bride or groom by 1,000% to get there and not have to worry about anything, not worry about why your florist is 15 minutes late and like, is the DJ setting up in the right place and the kitchen was supposed to have something and now the caterer needs a substitution. Just all of that shit that can clog up your wedding day, you don't want any of that. Yeah. And at a very bare minimum, I think, it's totally worth that investment. So
okay,
we're
so
on that team.
Plug,
yeah.
But back to what makes it fun. I think it's, and you really alluded to this with what you guys did with your wedding. I feel like it's finding who you are as a couple, what makes you come alive, what makes you happy, and somehow making that into your wedding. So, a lot of times we'll sit and talk to our couples about what their house looks like, what they do for fun, what their hobbies are. Like a great example was we had a couple who loved riding bikes together. It was their thing. And they were on a budget like everyone is. And so we went into their warehouse and took a ton of bike wheels and created chandeliers that we put, we hung light bulbs from and did this
really
like custom like bike chandelier ceiling. Huh. And it was really fun. It wasn't that expensive. And I think it's kind of, you alluded to this a lot, like it's just finding what makes you come alive and trying to bring that into your wedding day, not necessarily what you're supposed to do, quote unquote, for your wedding day, but what you want to
do. So maybe some of those projects are like rewards that you intersperse throughout the planning and like, okay, we've got to make a decision on, you know, whatever it is, the linens for our table. And we don't really care about that.
Right.
And there's 500 different combinations we have to look at. But then once we do that, we can set up a time with Gina to go and figure out the bicycle chandelier, you know, crazy notion that we have. And that'll be our treat and kind of keep us chugging along.
Yeah. And just drink lots of wine and like get the hard stuff out of the way first. We always do the big ticket. What costs the much? What's not fun? Let's do that right away. We do that like in the first few months. And then we're like, okay, now let's have fun. And let's do all the fun stuff. And I think it's just kind of checking off those ugly boxes that aren't as fun, getting it done, just knowing you have to, and then just enjoy it.
That's a life lesson there, too.
Yeah.
Like that's,
I'm going to write that down.
That's your mom being like, hey, when you come home from school, you got to do your homework first, and then you can play the rest of the afternoon. You can go out on the street and
have
fun with boys and girls. Maybe that was just me. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, I think in general in life, right, you kind of, you know the things that you want to do that are kind of a burden, and you know you have to do them, and you procrastinate, and the whole time it's like sucking all this psychic energy from your brain, and it's there, and it's inescapable. Yeah. Well, I guess one other question that I wanted to put to Christy before we wrap things up here is that, you know, it's been over a year. You obviously poured a lot of thought into your wedding day and planned it pretty in an interesting and meticulous fashion. I'm curious about sort of an unscripted highlight in your wedding day, something that when you look back made it that best wedding ever for you. Maybe it was that moment with your dad. I don't know if that's something that you had thought about prior to the day arriving.
So I think I would, there's two moments that come to mind. One I already mentioned when we were doing our first dance, and then there was a blackout and then the marching band appeared. Mm-hmm. I just thought that had so much like magic, and people got so excited, and to watch my family's faces and to watch them get up and dance. And it was just a really fun and special and magical moment. And then this is something that nobody actually knows happened on my wedding day.
Oh. This is juicy.
Nina actually knows because she was there from the hip photo. And we were taking some photos, and it was towards the end of the day, and we were about to head over to our venue so we could start the ceremony. And a train went by where we were shooting, and we were stuck. This train just kept on going. It was like 15 minutes.
So you and Danny,
20 minutes.
You and Danny are in the cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, we're doing our couples photos.
We're
playing up this, you know, cool gothic feeling that you mentioned. And you haven't gotten married yet.
We haven't been married yet.
You're waiting. You're literally waiting to go to your wedding.
Yeah.
And now you're trapped in a cemetery.
We're trapped in a cemetery waiting for a train to pass. And we actually ended up being late to our own wedding. We were late to our own wedding because we were trapped behind a train in a cemetery taking pictures. So it was just kind of those, like, it was one of those moments that was just like hilarious and scary, and it was so many things wrapped into one. And I was like, are we even going to make it to our wedding? Like, is this train going to be like an hour? We didn't know. We made it just in time. Like, we were maybe like 10 minutes late. But that's one of those like weird, funny moments that you never think you're going to be like stuck in a cemetery while your wedding's supposed to be happening.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. And, you know, I have heard this story from Nina, and I believe that either she or your videographers called the fire department or the police or something.
Yeah, that's right.
To see what was going on with this never-ending train.
They were like, we have a bride. She has to get married. We're stuck in a graveyard behind a train. And 911 was like, we can't help you. Just wait for the train to pass. And we're like, but...
Well, there you go. And so,
and I will say what makes good videographers and wedding photographers is they were cool as a cucumber and kept me totally calm despite the fact that I was missing my own wedding.
Yeah, they kept the freak out internal, right?
Yeah, totally.
Well, I think, you know, what I take away from that is that there are certain things that are just going to happen that you can't possibly wrap your mind around. They're unforeseeable. And really the difference between having a negative experience on your wedding day and having this funny, quirky story to tell a year later is how you respond in that moment, right? It's
totally.
It's being measured in your expectations. It's doing all the hard work of planning. And then on your wedding day, you let it happen. You recognize that you don't control the train schedules, and that sooner or later you're going to get to your venue and it's going to happen. You will be married.
Yeah, they can't actually have a wedding without the bride and groom, right? So figured hopefully they would wait, and everybody did.
Well, good job keeping your cool there, too. That's no small feat sometimes. Well, you know, every episode of Engaged and Confused is on some level about helping you make your wedding the most spectacular, most joyous, most idiosyncratically you wedding possible. But hopefully this has helped ignite some new sparks in the way you think about your wedding and those memories that you'll take with you. When all is said and done, yours only needs to be the best wedding ever for you and your partner. And if you can keep that in mind as you navigate the choices and compromises that are studded throughout the planning process, you'll already be halfway to making that happen. I want to say big hugs to Gina from Organically You Events for sharing her expertise with us.
Hugs.
So nice having you here. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, listeners will find a link to her company on our site in the episode guide at engagedandconfused.love. Once you're there, you can also pass along any questions that you might want to ask and have answered in subsequent episodes. Or if you've got an idea, like that Pinterest episode idea, Gina, well done. Wink, wink. Thanks also to this week's Real Bride, Christy Kruzik, for allowing myself and the rest of the From the Hip Photo team to document her ridiculously amazing wedding and for being part of this conversation.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Thanks so for fun. Being here, you two. This was episode 3, Best Wedding Ever. Check
best
out.
Wedding ever.
And in episode 4, we'll have more wedding expertise from other professionals and another real couple. So tune in for that. And for the rest of the team at From the Hip, I'm Danny Desaias. Thanks for listening and happy planning.